Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Perkins Platform. This is a solutions-oriented podcast and live radio show. Each broadcast, we dedicate just about 30 minutes to explore topics of interest for leaders and professionals in education and a variety of other disciplines. And this is your host, Brian Perkins. So welcome back, everyone. We know we're at a slightly different time today. So many things going on. It's that time of year. We have book talks and podcasts and so many things that been involved in. And so today is no different. We have a very special guest with you, someone who I am just so anxious to talk to and get caught up on, that I met a long time ago, dare I say, before she went to college. I'm just super, super proud to introduce to those of you who don't already know her. Hopefully a lot of family and friends are tuned in. But a lot of you out there don't know this person I'm about to introduce to you, someone who is a graduate of Harvard College and founder of an organization entitled the Disruptive Truth. And so we're going to have her talk to us a little bit about kind of her pathway, what led her here. I have so many things that she's going to have to catch me up on, because it's been a long time since we talked. But education is in her genes, and has been an educator and led some really important initiatives. So I'm proud to introduce you. And Jen, you're going to have to forgive me if I butcher your last name, but Jen Franks Agotu. Is that close?
It's close. It's Ahagotu.
Ahagotu. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for correcting me. Thank you so much.
Sure. And
so Jen, you got to catch me up on everything you've been doing. I know we can't go all the way back to before college, but I would like to know, you know, a little bit about how you got here. I know there were some things that you were working on in New York City schools, the Learning Partners Program. And so what exactly led you to this point of Disruptive Truth?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love this catch-up, too, because you know, I know you said not to, you know, we're not necessarily going to spend a whole lot of time in the past, but, you know, I remember when I met you, right? And it was, like you said, I think I was a senior in high school, which is when you and my mom were at TC together.
Yeah.
Getting your doctorates. And I literally, like, remember coming into your home. I think it was in New Haven, and I remember your two young daughters, and I just remember how much my mom really, you know, loved and respected you, and how you know,
beautiful,
warm and welcoming you were to us when we came. So I just you know, I want to put that out there, because I know that it's been a long time.
Yes.
But you leave an impression, Brian. You leave an impression.
So
when you invited me onto the podcast, it was a very easy yes to have this conversation. And so, you know, since then, I mean, I think, you know, I always like to think about, like, what is, like, that foundational thing that has, or that thread that has really tied all of the different things that I've done to this point together. And I don't know. I really think that I really am a truth seeker. I think that's one way to put it. It's like that I'm just looking for things that help me to understand the world in a more profound way, that help me to be a truthful person and to, and when I say truthful, not that I, you know, was a liar before, but just to understand more deeply, you know, what we're all here for and what we're all meant to do. And so in the beginning, that was through education. And, you know, so I was following in my mother's footsteps and started out in New York City public schools. Let's see. Yeah, I was working in Brooklyn and East New York in an elementary school dual language program. And I was teaching kids in English and teaching kids in Spanish and just really loving education. And you know, along that path realized that the thing that I loved was sort of building these magical worlds with children in doing project-based work, right? So there was something about, like, creating something new and not just, like, following the textbook, but really learning, you know, what was really resonating for all of us, right? The teachers and students and about the world and about how we could engage with it. And so fast forward to that, you know, I worked in a number of different places. I was in the education space for 15 years and variety of different roles. But my most recent role was, just like you said, with Learning Partners Program. And that was amazing. That was a program that was located in central offices. And it was at the time when Carmen Farina had come in as the chancellor, and she said, we're letting go of competition, and we're all about collaboration, and you know, this team at Central, you're going to, you know, start my signature program, and here are a couple of notes about it, and go to work, right? So, again, it was very much like, okay, we understand the assignment, and now we get to create. Right? And we get to really, like, dig deeply into, well, how can schools collaborate and what does that look like? And then try it and then break things and create, you know, other systems around. I won't go into all the details, but just super creative work where we really got into, you know, what is the truth about collaboration? What really goes on behind the scenes when you say, let's collaborate and let's work together? And it's very, it's complicated, as you can imagine. Absolutely. But then a real important truth that came out was that there was a lot of racial tension. A lot of racial tension between schools, between, you know, administrators and teachers and students, and depending on, you know, there are a lot of complexities around schools and districts, of course, and then you add that layer of race onto things, and there's a lot to unpack there. So in our last, we were a couple of years into this program when we finally layered on racial equity to the program. And that was actually where I came up with the idea of disruptive truth, because we really dug into who are we as, you know, in terms of our identities, what does that mean, how to really relate to each other, how do we go into the 250 schools that were part of this program at the time and help them navigate not only the academic pieces but also the racial equity pieces. And this was back, you know, pre-2020. And we were doing that at scale in a way that was, you know, the largest scale work of that kind in a school district at the time. And you know, and so that was where I actually got to speak my disruptive truth. And, you know, I'm happy to tell you more about that. But and then from there, I moved on with my own business. I tried out a number of different things and eventually landed on wanting to support Black women to tell our disruptive truth in order to change the world is really what it is. But it starts internally and then moves externally from there.
Well, let me tell you, when I first heard about you doing this, and the work was around disruptive truth, as so many of us do, first thing I did was what? Googled. And so I was unaware of how much people had been talking about and describing the power of what they refer to as the power of disruptive truth telling. And so I've been doing since I invited you a few months ago, that I've been reading and thinking about it. And there was even an article where someone said, wrote an article about why a woman's truth telling is so disruptive. And so it was just so fascinating about this notion of disruptive truth. And I know you recently did an initiative with Black women and degrees. And so I just, with everything that has happened, both I just would say in the last 4 years or so, just thinking about being brought into the forefront where people have actually been naming the power that Black women have brought to political spaces, to what has been framed as the saving of America, in terms of showing up at the voting booths and doing the work. But to hear you also name it unapologetically, about the fact that what you believe is that it is something that needs to be celebrated. And so I'd love to hear, and I'm sure people also listening in would love to hear about your stories around why this and why now. What is it that made this disruptive truth, this burn for you that had to happen now, and that has been such a welcomed and received so well by so many people at this time?
Yes, I love that question. I will say that it started with my own personal awakening, and I think that, listen, there are so many things in the world to be disrupted, changed, improved, evolved. And so to me, the most important thing is that you feel a really deep connection to it, right? Like at a soul level, at a legacy level, at just something that is deeply important to you that you almost have no choice but to put it out into the world. Right? So I am always somebody looking for that. And I would say, so disruptive truth in particular came through a challenge at this job that I had, because, you know, I was in a situation, so I was working on a team, and, you know, there were a couple of layers of leadership, and there were a number of different races of people, and I've, you know, without going into too much detail about it, here's what it is, Brian. It's that for so many years, I felt like I was trying to be perfect, right? So I'm definitely, like, I was a perfectionist for a very, very long time. And I used to think that if I was just a little bit more perfect or a little bit better, that you know, I would get sort of like I don't know what it was, because it was a bit like subconscious as well, right? But I was trying to be perfect, and I think that now that I understand that better, I understand that there were ways in which people were dismissing me, and then I felt like if I was more perfect, then that's not going to happen anymore, or I will feel worthy. And, of course, you never get to perfection, and then if you never get to perfection, then you never feel worthy. Right. And so it was in the context of this, you know, team dynamic where we actually started to have conversations about race, where we started talking consciously about these things, that I realized that I was doing that. I really didn't know I was doing that. I did not understand how much I was compensating for something that really was not my fault. right? That was a societal thing that was happening around me, microaggressions, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
And so it was through that, going through that and really unpacking that, and listen, it included tears, it included apologies, it included all the things, but the first time that I would say that I actually spoke my what I now call my disruptive truth was when we were all together in this community, and you know, I've been having conversations with people in smaller groups, and now was a time where I was being challenged to speak that disruptive truth of, I am being microaggressed by people who I am meant to support, right? That I am meant to help. And that is exhausting for me and very difficult, and it's not right. And I was saying that to people who were doing that, right?
Yeah.
And I said that to the entire group, and I have never felt so probably nervous probably in my whole life, and more empowered in my entire life. And I was like, I want to do more of that, and I want to help other people do more of that.
Yes. And what did you see that do by you kind of releasing that truth, if you will? What did you see it immediately, or was it something that you had to sit back and watch kind of take root and manifest? Was it, because I just think of it, the possibilities that in terms of managing expectations, maybe it was one of those things where you didn't have any expectations. It kind of just came out, and then you saw the benefit of it. But what did it do when you released that?
Yeah. So it was a very personal thing. And so the way that I describe, you know, one of the ways that I describe a disruptive truth is that to an extent, it's a self-expression without trying to control the response.
Ah.
Like, you actually have to free yourself from what the response is going to be.
Please
in order to speak that
I gotta
truth.
Stop you. Please say that again. Say that again.
Sure. So when you speak your disruptive truth, it is self-expression, and it is independent of the response.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the response is what it is. You are just, it's coming from your heart, your soul.
Yeah. Yes. The reason I asked you to say that again, because that resonated with me just now in a profound way. About 2 years ago, I had started writing a book, and in the middle of it, I stopped and I said, this is too much of my story in this. And I went to a couple of colleagues and trusted authors, award-winning authors, and I said, you know, this story is about largely experiences as an African-American professor in Ivy League institutions. And so there's some experiences that I want to share. I think what I have to do, and I came up with this whole research protocol to justify and show where it wasn't just my experience. You know, this is what everybody, and they said, stop. What you're doing is you're feeling like it has to be something that people agree with you about.
Mm.
Your experience is your experience. And then another one of my colleagues said, well, this is precisely, like, you're doing precisely what you've been conditioned to do, which is you seeking someone else's validation of the experience you had and have.
Mm-hmm.
And so stop. And so what I hear, so it's like regardless of how people receive it, I hear you saying, say it. And it doesn't mean that you can't have diplomacy intact and, you know, all the things that are necessary when it's necessary. But that when it comes to the truth that needs to be told for you against whether these aggressions, and some of them are not micro, by the way.
Right.
Some of them are just aggressions, not microaggressions. But these things that happen, that putting a name on them, releasing that, is very important, very, very important. And what I have taken from what I see in what you've written and said through your organization is that that this is something that you are encouraging Black women to embrace, if I'm not mistaken. That's largely what you are doing in your organization.
That's right. In fact, it's imperative. We need to do it. We need to do it for our own emotional health. We need to do it for, you know, whatever dreams that people have, the things that they want to pursue. Like, so when I told this disruptive truth in this setting, first of all, you could hear a pin drop. You asked before, you know, how, like, I forget exactly the words you used, but it was like, well, what was the response? How did it happen?
Yeah.
Like, it was like immediate.
Yeah.
The
okay.
response.
Mm-hmm.
And you could hear a pin drop, and people never, it completely changed the way people responded to me, both the Black folks and then folks of other races as well. And the way people treated me just was never the same in the most positive way. That I have ever experienced. People, the gravitas was gravitasing.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Yeah. And so you are now. Tell me the ways in which you are working with others to be able to accomplish this. And I guess I would also ask, have you had other groups of women who have said to you, yeah, that's been my experience too. And what about us? Is it about women also? But I know yours is specifically focused on Black women. But but you know, what is it that you would say about that?
Yeah, you know, that's a really interesting one. And that's a question that, you know, who is this for is a question that I grappled with for a long time, for years, actually.
Yeah.
Because originally when I started my business, I was, I worked primarily with women, although I worked with some men as well. I generally attracted Black women, you know, who saw themselves in part of, you know, who I am. And I think so, but I was always wondering, you know, when I, you know, put that stake in the ground and I say, this is who this is for, this is what this is about, who is that person for me? And it did take me a while to get to, this is for Black women. And, you know, because there are so many different people who you can help, and there are so many people for whom the idea of a disruptive truth or a world record, or we have, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about that in a little bit, that it applies to everybody. It's not like it doesn't apply to everybody, but the cultural specificity of what it means to a certain group of people is actually, to me, that's very important because it has to be what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and I think there's a real theme around here of actually focusing on ourselves in order to do more good in the world. So it's been very interesting, actually, because since I've focused in on Black women, that means so much to me that the way that I show up and the way that I talk about it is magnetic and attracting all kinds of people, right?
Oh,
like you reached out. I'm talking about Black women, but you know, you reached out for us to have this conversation.
Yeah.
Or I know other women who are like, wow, you know, I'm learning so much about myself and my leadership. Or people who are thinking, who've said, I really want to see this for Black women. And I'm not a Black woman, and that's not my experience. But and I can't, you know, engage in that community in that way, but to watch you do that,
yeah.
I want that for the Black women in my life, right? So I think that you know, going through the process of who do I serve is the most important thing. It could be whoever you want it to be,
yes.
As long as it's who you, you know, really want to serve fully, with your, you know, with your whole heart, and then other people can still engage with it, learn from it, and support it, and we
absolutely.
All benefit from doing that.
Absolutely, and that was exactly what I was going to add, and benefit from it as well. Well, you know, it may be selfish reasons, but I definitely, with my daughters, I wanted them to also know, so I've sent them your information for your website and what have you, because I want, if there's anything I could say that I want more, then it is just that I want them to have the space to be who they are and not be limited by what other people place on them. And so they can say the kinds of things they want to say as much as anyone else can, but not feel limited because they are Black women, and that it wouldn't be appropriate for me to move into this space or another space or say this or own this or not. That's a real hope that I have for them, and I think this, your message, it gets you there. It's one of the things that I think that if incorporated will help them be successful in their lives. It really struck me, and I just after I saw the initiative you had, I'd love you to tell me what made you think of that. But your world record, Black Women World Record event. Tell me a little bit about that. How did you come up with that and your outcomes from that?
Yes. So like I said, I'm always, you know, seeking truth, right? Looking for those things that that really get me closer to how it is I want to serve in the world and what the world is really all about, what we're here to do, what we're all here to do, really. And so along that path, I have a lot of conversations, and I love building relationships, I think, is really key with all different kinds of people, right? And so I had met this woman who also has her own business, and we had gotten to know each other and just an entrepreneur's group. And she conducts world records, right? So she has her own company. It's the only female-led company that is, that is adjudicating world records. Her name is Crystal Davis from Extreme Excellence World Records. So go look her up. She's amazing. And she and I got to talking, right? And so here I am thinking, okay, like I've got this idea, Disruptive Truth, and I, you know, what is my next project? Like, what's the thing I want to do next aside from sort of the coaching that I'm doing and some presenting and things like that? And so we just got to talking, and we started talking about, again, like this on the legacy level, right? So when you are talking with other people who are really big thinkers, just crazy stuff can come out of that, right? And really wild and imaginative and like, so what I'm trying to say, Brian, is that I did not necessarily start off this year saying, well, I'm going to do a world record, right? But it was through kind of interactions with other people and linking into that energy of, like, we're here to do big things. We're here to do, you know, legacy-level work that then, you know, it took shape. And so it took the form of, just like you said, Black Women World Record.
Yep.
We led the world first record for the most number of Black women uploading pictures of themselves with their graduation certificates onto social media in 24 hours. It's a mouthful. But essentially, Black women from around the world posted, so we posted pictures of ourselves with our high school graduation certificate, with our associate's degrees, with professional certificates, with just anything and everything that represented our educational achievements.
Yes.
And we posted those onto social media with the Black Women World Record hashtag so we could track it. And in 10 weeks, we got 3,527 registrants. On the day of, we conducted it on September 8th, which is Ruby Bridges' birthday.
Uh-huh.
It was very intentional there. We had 894 individual posts of women and made 1.43 million impacts. So that means that 1.43 million different people on the internet saw our content.
Wow, that is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
So so for your listeners, if you go into Facebook or Instagram and you put in the hashtag Black Women World Record, you're just going to see a flood of Black women with their graduate, just woman after woman after woman, story after story. and it's just this massive visual representation of, I like to say, of who we have always been that doesn't,
yes.
that we don't always celebrate for ourselves. In fact, we rarely celebrate for ourselves.
Yes,
and that
yes.
within the larger cultural narrative, we hardly hear about it all.
That's awesome. I'm so proud of you for that. Now, what is this seeing and hearing buzz about a documentary? What is this about?
Oh, yeah. Brian, listen, I go big. I go big.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
So on September 8th, that was the world record itself, right? And that's that we it was a world first record, right? So it's something that had never been done before. So we were the first ones to do it. Everybody who participated got their own certificate, and everybody who participated is also a world record holder. So I'm the world record laureate, but everybody who participated is also part of that and has, if you go check the hashtag, you'll see all of it.
Yeah.
And then, so from there, September 8th has come and gone, right? And so the next thing is to really, we have big plans to share this with as many people around the world as possible. Like, the whole idea is to affect the lives and make an impact on the lives of Black women and girls 10 generations into the future.
Uh-huh.
And you can't do that on one day. And so our next project is to create a documentary, and we're already in production on that documentary that tells this story of the community that was created, the Black Women World Record, telling some of the stories of some of the, the women in our community, my own family story, my mother's story.
Yeah.
I have two daughters of my own. Just our story about our educational achievements and what that means to us and to the world. And so, we're working on the documentary. We've got an in-person event in Washington, D.C. in February where we're going to be doing a lot of filming. And the idea is for it to come out in spring, summer 2024. We're going to screen it.
Awesome. That is great. Well, listen, no, we're already past our time, and we have so much more that we can catch up on. So we're going to have to make a commitment to do that. And here in New York City or elsewhere, we will definitely have to get more. But what I'd like you to do is to share with people where they can follow you, support you, what's next. I know you told just a little bit about where the next project you're working on, but how can they support you and follow what you're doing? Any social media handles, email addresses, websites, please share that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we have our URL, blackwomenworldrecord.com. So you can go to blackwomenworldrecord.com, and that will give you more information about the project, and you can join our community from there. We have a growing community of amazing women. And with the documentary, as you can imagine, we're looking for support, right? We're looking for money in order to be able to produce it. So if anybody's, if you're out there and you're listening and you are inspired by what it is that we're doing, and you'd love to help us bring that to the big screen, to all the awards and the the streaming services and all the things that we plan to do with this, please do reach out. I am at Jen Franks Aha Go-To everywhere on all the platforms. And my email is jen@jenfranksahagoto.com. So I'm Jen Franks Aha Go-To in all the places and blackwomenworldrecord.com.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again. And if there's anything that we can do to be supportive, please don't hesitate. I'll be reaching back out to you because I'm sure there are a number of places here on our campus that would welcome, love to have you around. And so my regards, I know my dear friend Carol is listening. I already know, and so hello, Carol, and everyone out there. Just know that we're pulling for you, Jen, and just look forward to talking to you again soon. So until we talk and see each other, go well, stay well.
Thank you, Brian.